From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
This is Alan Kearns with you once again, as we continue our studies in Colossians 1 verse 29. I've described the subject before us in this text as being one that is immediately vital to every Christian, living in the experience of God's power. We're dealing particularly with God's power working in believers to make them holy. God's power working in Christians toward their sanctification. I've made the statement that believers work toward more perfect holiness as the Lord works in them. We are commanded, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. And the good pleasure of God is always toward holiness in the lives of His people. To that end, He works conviction of sin. Christians have a deep sensibility to what grieves the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit strives against sin in Christians, according to Galatians 5, 16 and 17. But, as we now see today, He goes further than that and leads us to say the same thing about sin as the Lord does, and then to work in us a genuine likeness to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, that's what's before us a little later in the broadcast, and I trust you'll stay with us as we continue to think in Colossians 1, verse 29. First, however, in our daily devotional Bible study, we turn to Psalm 1, verse 3. Transplanted. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Gardening enthusiasts know the significance of transplanting flowers, shrubs, and trees. The purpose of transplanting is to put the plant in a more advantageous setting, not to give it a better chance of dying. That which is transplanted is considered to be property and becomes the object of special cultivation and care. This is the image suggested by the description of the blessed man in Psalm 1 as a tree planted or transplanted by rivers of water. The believer has been transferred from the kingdom of darkness and placed in the kingdom of light. When God transplants us, He assures us that He makes us the object of His special care, His concern, and His provision. He puts us by a water source that never runs dry, and thus supplies us with what we need for life, for growth, and for fruitfulness. Knowing that we are special to God will liberate us from the bondage of insecurities that easily rob us of spiritual joy. Experience testifies that this divine care may not appear as material prosperity, but then material things should not be the desire of the godly heart. Even though the benefits of God's special attention may not be visible to the physical eye, the benefits are absolutely certain. We will know them as we delight and meditate in God's law. To meditate means simply to become so consumed with God and His Word that we're oblivious to everything else. As we give our attention to the Lord, we will enjoy the blessing of His attention to us. And our thought for the day, God looks over us, but never overlooks us. Regular listeners to Let the Bible Speak will know that here on the program, we like to offer some good and helpful literature. Some time ago, we had a special offer of one of my books, and for a while now, we're making a very particular offer of a book entitled God's Unfailing Purpose, The Message of Daniel. It's by my associate pastor, Dr. Michael Barrett, and it answers the question, where is God? A question often asked by skeptics, scoffers, and even by troubled believers. Trials and tribulations of one sort or another crowd people's daily lives. Corruption, conflict, and catastrophe seem to command the world scene. And in the middle of all this comes the question, where is God? There is a new heresy abroad in many parts of the professing church. It's called open theism. It has the idea that God is a good God, God is a caring God, but he is always reacting to what is happening in the world. He is not the God of providential purpose and unfailing control. Dr. Barrett's book, God's Unfailing Purpose, the message of the book of Daniel, shows that God, our Savior, is the God of history, and he's the God of prophecy, and therefore he is also the great God of the present, the one who is in complete control. So the message of the book of Daniel simply is, not to worry. The Lord has everything under control. Now you can receive your free copy of God's Unfailing Purpose While Our Supplies Last by writing to us here at Let the Bible Speak. So we look forward to hearing from you, and we'd be happy to send you not only God's Unfailing Purpose, but any of the other pieces of literature that we advertise here in the broadcast from time to time. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is LTBS@freepres.org. Our toll-free telephone number is 1-866-877-LTBS. 1-866-877-5827. We look forward to hearing from you, and we'll be glad to send you Dr. Mike Barrett's book, God's Unfailing Purpose, The Message of the Book of Daniel.
I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peace and shore. Very deeply stained within, sinking to rise no more. But the Master of the sea heard my despairing cry. From the waters lifted me, now sinking.
now return to Colossians chapter 1, verse 29, and the subject, living in the experience of the power of God. Following up on the general truth that believers experience God's power working in them not only in salvation, but also in sanctification, we have noted that God works in them a true conviction of sin. Now today we go a little further and show how he works in them confession and then works toward conformity to the Lord Jesus Christ in their lives. So that's today's study. Let's now turn to Colossians 1, verse 29.
He works conviction. From that, then, he works confession. The word confession is a very interesting word. You can see the first three letters of it. They come from a Latin word that simply means with. And here is something that you are saying with someone else. Confession, literally, in the Greek text, is saying the same thing as. And in this connection, it's the work of the Holy Spirit convicting us of our sin, of our failure, and leading us to say the same thing about that thing as the Lord says. Now that's the work of God. To enlighten our mind, to enliven our conscience, to direct our will, so that we identify sin as God identifies it. Now you see immediately what a total change that is from the way the flesh would operate. For the flesh will either deny it, or excuse it, or blame somebody else for it. Those are the three usual things that the flesh does. Deny it, excuse it, or blame somebody else for it. And you know, you and I, we are experts in those things. The flesh is expert in those things. No way that any man, woman, or even young person here, maybe sometimes especially young people, could deny that. Once something's brought before you, there's your sin, deny it. That only adds to your sin, for you've now become a liar as well. Or excuse it. It's not as bad as you say it is. And I didn't really mean it that way anyway. Or, well, I might have done that, but what have you done? You did this and you did that. If that's true, let's deal with that. But that's no way around your sin or my sin. The work of the Holy Ghost is to cut through all that nonsense of the flesh and to bring us to the place where we will say the same thing about our sin as the Lord says about it. That's fundamental to confession. And confession is fundamental to forgiveness. The Holy Spirit is given that he should give repentance. This is a gracious work of God. But God is working in his people. That's why I have great, great reservations about these cases. People are supposed to have been saved when they were five. And by the way, I'm not knocking people being saved when they're five. Some of the best Christians I've ever known were saved when they were five or less. So I'm not knocking that. But what worries me is people who say they were saved when they're five or six or eight or whatever, and then they're backslidden for 50 years. Now, I can't read hearts. But I can tell you that anybody's able to live 50 years without repentance, without confession, without a desire to get right with God. It's not backsliding's the problem. It's the fact they've never frontslidden. That's the problem. You see, this is the gift of the Holy Ghost. He gives repentance to confess and then to bring pardon. If we confess our sins, is there a sweeter promise in the Bible for a Christian?
This is for you and this is for me. I have to plead this or any some similar promise every day I live. This is for you or for me. As none of us can say we have not sinned. If any man says he has no sin, he deceives himself and the truth is not in him. But if we confess our sins, he is faithful. He is just. Faithful means he will keep his promise. Just refers to the atoning work of the Lord Jesus Christ. There is, understand it, believer, there is provision in the cross work of Jesus Christ for the pardon and the sanctification of his people. So if we confess our sin, he's faithful, he is just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The Holy Ghost works conviction within us. The Holy Ghost works confession within us. The Holy Ghost works conformity to Christ within God's people. Remember that lovely title that the Lord takes to himself, the description of his work in Exodus 31:13. I am the Lord that doth sanctify thee. You may recollect in our earlier studies in Colossians 1 that Paul called these Colossians saints, those who are really separated by God unto God to live in holy fellowship with God. And that's a simple but profound definition of saints. Saints are people who have been really separated by God unto God to live in holy fellowship with God. So these people were saints. And yet, as we have seen, Paul longed for them to become more mature. They were saints, but they were not perfect in holiness. They needed to become more perfect. They needed to become more conformed to Christ. As he wrote to the Galatians in chapter 4 and verse 19, he labored to see Christ fully formed in them. Now that's a spiritual work. It's not the product of the will of the flesh. It's not simply saying, I can do it, I will do it, I've decided to do it, that's it. There is decision involved. But that's the result of an internal spiritual work. Galatians 5:22 calls it the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit. Now, I'm not going to repeat what I said when I did a prolonged series on the fruit of the Spirit. But will you remember this? I did take one entire message, if my memory's not too far awry here, to emphasize the word. This is a fruit of the Spirit. It is not a work of the flesh. This fruit of the Spirit, it's very, very expressive. What do you expect to get if you have an apple tree? You expect it to produce apples. What's the fruit of an apple tree? Apples. What's the fruit of the Spirit? Love, joy, peace, and write down the nine aspects of that holy fruit. In other words, what he's saying, and he says this again and again and again in so many ways through his epistles, and the other writers of the New Testament make the same point. What he's saying is that this is not just a religion of profession. It's not just a religion of theological exactness, though it is that. This is a living, vital union with the living Christ. The living God is within you. And since the living God is within you, he's working within you. And there is fruit for that. There's results for that. God works conformity. And so Paul prayed that New Testament believers would experience the working of God's power within them to sanctify. Time does not allow me to go through those prayers this morning. Again, I advise you, I've done this
I couldn't tell you how many times. And I have no doubt if the Lord spares me, I'll do it many, many more times. But Ephesians 1, 17 and following, just to get on your knees and pray that through, that great prayer of Paul for the Ephesians, pray it for yourself. Ephesians 3, starting at verse 14, but especially verses 16 through 19, pray it for yourself. We have already in these studies looked at Colossians 1, 9 through 11, that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to His glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. The end of the book of Hebrews, he prays, now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect, mature, fully grown, fully formed in Christ, make you perfect in every good work to do His will, working in you that which is well pleasing in His sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Men and women, that's Paul's prayer for God's people. That has to be your prayer for you and my prayer for me.
Listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. I hope that you found today's broadcasting a blessing to your heart. If you'd like to email us, our email address is ltbs@freepres.org. Or if you'd prefer, you may write us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. We would love to hear from you. If you'd like to know how to be saved and how to be sure you're saved, we'd like to send you my booklet, A New Beginning, and I think that you'll find it very helpful. Each quarter we publish a free full-color magazine, Let the Bible Speak Quarterly, with a good variety of Bible teaching and testimony. It's available to all who request it. If you'd like to receive more information about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America and its ministry, we'd like to send you our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel. Or if you'd like to have tape or CD copies of the messages here in Let the Bible Speak, you may have them by contacting us. Or you may visit us on the web at letthebiblespeakradio.com. Now that's a lot of information to digest all at once, but you can find it all on our website, letthebiblespeakradio.com. There you'll be able to listen to and download our programs, visit our online bookstore, and read a text version of each day's commentary. So visit us today at letthebiblespeakradio.com. This is Alan Cairns saying thank you for listening. I trust that you'll join us each day at this time, Monday through Friday, as we Let the Bible Speak.